This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In. I'm your host, Layla Mudin, here. Thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcasts. If you wish to subscribe to our newsletter, go to drhoffman.com and subscribe. You can unsubscribe at any time. It's up to you. To email me with topics of interest, questions, email is radioprogram@aol.com. The email, once again, is radioprogram@aol.com. So I came across this article, and this is actually, well, I'm probably going to rant about it to some degree, because we're living in a big pharma world here in America. Personalized medicine, combo therapy, stops progression to diabetes. So, in patients with prediabetes, determined to be at high risk of progression to diabetes through oral glucose testing, treatment with a triple regimen of medications significantly reduced the likelihood of progression to type 2 diabetes compared with lifestyle modifications alone, according to new research. Now, I'd like to know what those lifestyle modifications were. However, let me continue. So, this research is about, there's a three-drug therapy that can keep you from getting diabetes, and it worked better than lifestyle modifications. Quote, the results of our analysis show that pharmacological treatment with anti-diabetic agents that target insulin resistance, and the drug is called pioglitazone, it's also known as Actos, pioglitazone, Actos, and beta cell dysfunction. So it's a combo of pioglitazone and glucagon-like peptide 1 receptor agonist, reduces development of type 2 diabetes in a real-world setting, says Dr. John Armato of Providence Little Company of Mary Cardiometabolic Center in Torrance, California, and colleagues. This study was published online September 14th in Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology. For anybody interested in looking this up, the study was published online September 14th in Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology. That's the place to look. Quote, our study suggests that clinicians might want to reconsider their approach to prediabetes on the basis of the pathophysiology of the disease in individual patients and should not simply rely on a fasting blood glucose level or a hemoglobin A1C concentration. So fasting glucose, you go into your doctor's office and you come in fasting, of course, and they take your blood and they see what your fasting glucose level is. You want it below 99. Actually, you really want it below 90. That's another conversation. And hemoglobin A1C is the blood test that shows the average of your blood glucose over a 3-month period, three and a half month period. So, senior author Dr. Ron Ruby of the same center in Torrance, California, told Medscape Medical News that our biggest take-home message is don't be afraid to use pathophysiology to guide your therapy. Hey, I've got a really big tome in my office called Pathophysiology of Disease. And I want to tell you, as an undergrad, as a grad student, even at the time, I referred to it constantly. What is the mechanism of action? What is the pathophysiology of a particular disease? And they're talking about diabetes here. And that's where you can pinpoint, you know, that progression, pinpoint certain areas in that progression where you can devise an intervention. Like with a low carb diet in diabetes, where is the blood sugar? What's it doing? Do you still make insulin? If you still make insulin, that's good news. That means we just need to give your pancreas a rest with a low carb, high fat diet, which is the antidote to any progression to diabetes. We know that diabetes is reversible. We know it's a condition. It's a lifestyle choice. Type 2 diabetes I'm talking about. Pre-diabetes is completely reversible. So, quoting again the doctors here, we believe that this is light years ahead of present guidelines. Your patients will be happy when you tell them diabetes can be prevented using available tests and targeted anti-hyperglycemic reactions. So, there are other cohorts of doctors that agree with, in the light of the risks of diabetes, the strategy of medication in the pre-diabetes stage, guided by known pathophysiological risk factors, is worthwhile. Many would consider intervention with 3 pharmaceutical agents, one of which is an injectable, to be excessive in this population. I have to agree with that. I mean, for prevention, you throw a lot of medication at it, and we haven't even gotten to the side effects of these medications, so stay with me. So, however, they say, they assert that the complications of type 2 diabetes can be devastating, and anything that can be done to avoid diabetes and therefore its complications is worthy of consideration. I agree, but not necessarily a pharmaceutical approach. All right. But here's what they found, and this is very compelling, and that's why I'm talking to you about this today. None of those at highest risk on triple therapy, on this triple therapy that they're proposing, none of those on this therapy has progressed to diabetes. Wow. Do we have the cure? In the Stop Diabetes study, 422 patients identified as having prediabetes at an internal medicine and endocrinology community practice between the years 2009 and 2016 were assessed. 422 patients between that 7-year period. By measuring the glycemic response during oral glucose tolerance testing, insulin sensitivity, and beta cell function, the investigators were able to categorize the patients according to the risk. With this information, a personalized restorative pharmacological plan can be implemented in a real-world setting. In total, 81 patients determined to be at high risk were treated with a triple therapy regimen, 81 patients, a triple therapy regimen of low-dose metformin, pioglitazone, also known as Actos, and a GLP-1 receptor agonist. Those assessed as having an intermediate risk were treated only with metformin and pioglitazone. Both groups also received lifestyle therapy. The lowest group, so not only were they using a triple drug therapy, they also received lifestyle therapy. So that also had to have an effect. The lowest doses considered to have a physiological effect were used. That's 850 milligrams a day for metformin and 15 milligrams a day for pioglitazone. For the GLP-1 receptor agonist, medications were used based on insurance coverage. Exenatide, 10 micrograms, liraglutide, and so forth. Okay. And that was not modified during the study. But let me talk a little bit about metformin. We like metformin. It's probably the best thing for diabetes or those who need additional help. The pioglitazone may be a problem, however. And that's when I went on to drugs.com. Just type in pioglitazone, P-I-O-G-L-I-T-A-Z-O-N-E, also known as Actos. When you look at the side effects, there's actually a black box warning on that drug for congestive heart failure. I don't know which is worse, diabetes, which I can help you reverse, or congestive heart failure where, wow, good luck with that. A third group of 200 patients, and of the 200, 76% high risk and 124 intermediate risk, who refused pharmacological therapy were assigned to lifestyle therapy only. At a mean follow-up of 32 months, okay, almost 3 years later, 28 of the 422, or 7%, of the patients developed type 2 diabetes. So think of that. Those who did not, who refused the medication, instead chose lifestyle therapy, only 7% of them, only 28 out of the 422 patients developed type 2 diabetes. Well, guess what? We could have taken you the rest of the way. We could have prevented those 7% when lifestyle modifications are done properly. And again, my question is, what kind of lifestyle modification? Did they still have you eating at least 130 grams of carbohydrate a day? If they did, wrong. That helped your progression to type 2 diabetes. There are better ways to do it, which include your biochemistry is changing in the right direction all across the spectrum. Lipid levels, blood sugars, insulins, all of that. And giving your pancreas a much needed rest. So, however, whereas 5% of the 141 intermediate risk participants receiving metformin and pioglitazone progressed, none of the 81 participants who received triple therapy developed type 2 diabetes, and 21 of the 200 participants who received lifestyle therapy progressed. 21 of the 200. The adjusted hazard ratios for progression to type 2 diabetes compared with those who received lifestyle therapy alone were 0.29. For those who received metformin and pioglitazone was 0.12 for the high-risk patients who received triple therapies. Okay, so quote, our data show that pre-diabetes patients treated with lifestyle progressed to diabetes at a rate of 4.1% per year, where moderate treatment with pioglitazone and metformin reduces the rate to 1.7% per year, and triple therapy with a GLP-1 receptor agonist reduces the rate to 0 per year. Wow. I don't know. Are the side effects of these things worth it? I leave that to you. So the importance of stratifying patients according to physiology, the strongest predictor associated with the prevention of type 2 diabetes was improvement in beta cell function, the authors say. The beta cells of the islets of Langerhans in your pancreas are what they're talking about. So the improvement in beta cell function, which was helped by this particular drug combination, but by going on a very low carb diet, a ketogenic style diet, your beta cell function, if it was poor, if it is poor, can give your pancreas a much needed rest so that your beta cell function can be restored. And instead, in this study, they're choosing to do this with a triple drug therapy and one or two of those which have potent side effects. Congestive heart failure, anyone? So, they go on to say that the findings underscore the benefits of taking the time to stratify patients with prediabetes according to their underlying pathophysiological defects, an approach that is not commonly practiced. Although some physicians treat pre-diabetic patients with lifestyle modification and pharmacological agents, we are unaware of other real-world practices that utilize physiologic assessments of glucose response, insulin sensitivity, and beta cell response to prospectively determine personalized prevention strategies. Listen, there are ways to change your pathophysiology by changing how you eat, by changing your diet. It will change the way your beta cells respond. It will change the way your pancreas responds. It will change the rise of your glucose levels to more moderate when you don't feed yourself all those carbohydrates. But instead, they're advocating this possible novel approach by giving you three kinds of drugs instead. Does that mean eat what you want? Oh, maybe. They do, however, incorporate lifestyle therapy, although we're not sure what that is. And that's what I question. And I would also hazard a guess that they don't go far enough with lifestyle, because that alone can take care of a whole lot of this. So barriers to the adoption of this approach range from insurance coverage, insurance coverage challenges, to resistance to the work required to calculate and interpret physiological results, say the doctors. Okay. The cost of the drugs is a key concern, but could soon be offset by more generic options. Regimens using inexpensive agents, metformin and pioglitazone, provide substantial benefit, and expensive agents are nearing generic availability, the authors point out. Meanwhile, considering the extensive health risks caused by diabetes and evidence that disturbances in normal physiology precede development of type 2 diabetes by years, if not decades, the stakes are high. So, of course, there are extensive health risks caused by diabetes, right? Like heart disease, circulation issues, neuropathies. And evidence that disturbances in normal physiology precede development of type 2 diabetes by years. Yes, those disturbances in physiology are caused by a poor diet and lifestyle. Not eating the right way in a low-carb fashion and not moving your body. That's what causes these disturbances in your blood sugar, the impact on your blood sugar. That's what causes these disturbances in your pancreas, in the islets of Langerhans, in those beta cells, right? This can very easily be a lifestyle fix. But the authors go on to say, In their editorial, they conclude that by the time people are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, they have typically lost more than 80% of their beta cell function. Hence, intervening with therapies designed to interrupt the pathophysiological mechanisms that lead to type 2 diabetes is logical. Of course it is. And I would treat that with lifestyle modification. But, you know, the ability of the beta cell function to produce insulin is greatly harmed and reduced, because when you see somebody with pre-diabetes, that's the time to intervene. Pre-diabetes and metabolic syndrome, that's the time to intervene. Then the beta cell function can be restored by giving the pancreas rest. You could do this with lifestyle intervention that has zero side effects and certainly not congestive heart failure by taking something like pioglitazone, right? Wouldn't you rather? Wow. So, you could look at this released online September 14 in Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology. It was actually published online September 3rd, according to this line here that I'm reading. So, intervening with therapies designed to interrupt the pathophysiological mechanisms that lead to type 2 diabetes is logical. Where they want to do it with a triple drug therapy, I would rather do it by you changing your lifestyle, your diet, and that's 80% of it. Your diet is 80% of it. The exercise portion, the moving your body, all of that is the rest of that equation and a very important part of that equation. So you decide. In order to prevent diabetes in your future, would you take a triple therapy, drug therapy like that, where you've got side effects as, you know, compromised liver function, kidney function, congestive heart failure? Aren't we just trading one problem for another? Or you could eat in a very healthy, low-carb, high-fat fashion, eating good whole food and exercising, and you can ensure that you will never progress to diabetes. And tweaks can be made with natural things like supplementation, like chromium, like gymnema, right? You could take things like that, like taking CM-Core, berberine. That's what we're talking about. That in combination with diet and lifestyle changes, nobody has to get diabetes. And that's what I've got to say about that. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Protocol for Life Balance supplement product line. Protocol's mission is to provide top quality supplements at affordable prices. Protocol offers 50 years of expertise, providing formulations based on the latest advances in nutritional science and incorporating trademarked ingredients that have been tested for efficacy in clinical trials and laboratory studies. I'm so confident in their products that I've included many of them in my Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle Protocols. Protocol for Life Balance is only available through licensed practitioners, so ask your doctor or healthcare professional for it by name. You can get them at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.